today. But I'm excited for this series, as you've already heard, and I've kind of announced it, Things of the Spirit, okay? And again, I hope that you come with an expectation that God is going to speak to you and do something even new in you each and every week. And hopefully that you don't have some kind of negative feelings toward things of the Spirit. And that's really why I'm going through this. This series, my goal is really to look at what the Word says about the Holy Spirit. What does the Word say about the Holy Spirit? How do we see the Holy Spirit moving in the Word and kind of dispel some of those things, those lies of the enemy? I remember, even as a kid, I remember hearing things about like the Pentecostals, and they were all crazy, and you know, all these things that I heard. And a lot of times they're just things that people have heard, right? A lot of times people repeat what they've heard, and they're just like, yeah, well, that's what somebody that I trusted told me, so I believe that to be true. We're going back to the Word, right? What the Word says is truth. And so we want to kind of dispel some of those lies of the enemy about God's Spirit. And I really feel like for this year, God's kind of given me some direction for preaching for a lot longer season than he normally gives me. Normally I have a series and then I have any idea what I'm preaching next. Sometimes I don't know until like the time has come and I'm like, okay, Lord, time's up. But I really feel like he kind of gave me a little bit of a warning or kind of preloaded me for this year with to tackle prayer, that how badly and desperately the church and the people of God need to pray. And that's why we went through the Lord's Prayer. And then secondly, he laid on my heart just the things of the Spirit. Listen, if we're not doing spiritual things, we're wasting our time. As the church, if we're not spiritual, there is no reason to be here. Like, that's just the truth. It's a waste of time. I mean, it might be fun, it might be good to hang out, but it's a waste of time if it's not spiritual things. And so I think that the church needs more of the Spirit. Amen? I mean, I believe that wholeheartedly. We need more of the Spirit. We need God to move in, not just in our services, okay? If you don't already know this, the purpose of the service right here today, the reason that you are here is to be equipped to go outside of this building and do the work of God. Every one of us, that's me included, we're here to be equipped. So I don't just want more of the Spirit in our services. I want more of the Spirit in our services, so hopefully that it changes and transforms our lives so that when we go outside of the service, that we have more of the Spirit there as well, to where we can minister to other people. That's the goal here, right? You know what? I would love to see this place packed. I would love to see it full. But even more so than that, I would love to see us reaching the fullness of the number of people that we can reach outside of this place, whether they come and sit in a pew or not. That's really not the most important thing. The end game of the church is not to fill the pews. The end game of the church is to advance the kingdom of God. Now, hopefully a byproduct of that is more people in the church that we can pour into on a weekly basis to send out and to do more and to reach more. But you know what? I do a lot of ministry that has nothing to do with our church. I mean, I do. And you know what? There's always a hope that yes, they will come, but you know what? A lot of times they don't. And I'm sure that a lot of you can relate, but we need more of God's Spirit in our lives so that we can impact this world. So again, on the topic of the Holy Spirit, listen, there's people that are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Like maybe even in this room, maybe you're afraid of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've heard these lies and you've believed some of the lies. Others, you've been exposed to the Spirit. You've experienced the Spirit and you've seen or heard people misuse gifts of the Spirit. You've heard and seen people do things in the name of the Lord that was not the Lord, right? Probably most of us have experienced something along those lines. That doesn't make the Holy Spirit bad, right? Just because someone else does something bad, does something out of line, does something incorrect, that doesn't make God bad, right? I mean, we've all seen the stories. You got the lady who this I think was a long time ago, but the lady that drove the car into the lake with her kids in it and was like, God told me to do that. Well, obviously he didn't. So if we all took the assumption that, well, if God told her to do that, then God's bad, where most of us were like, she was crazy. That wasn't God. Like, she had something else going on, and, you know, it was a hurting person that needed God, but clearly didn't have the voice of God in her ear, right? So we can see that and recognize it when it's something like that. But for some reason, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, people buy those things. They buy those lies and they're like, yeah, that's weird. So I don't want that. I'm going to reject it. I'm going to believe it. But again, don't let those things hold you back from serving God and seeking his Spirit. And then there's others that just don't know what we're talking about. When we say the things of the Spirit, they're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I don't know what that is. And really, all of these things are okay for today. They're all okay for a season. They're all okay for right now. You just don't want to stay in any of those places. You want to let God move you out of those places where maybe you were believing lies, maybe you've had bad experiences, or maybe you don't understand. And so that's really what the motive and the desire is here, is for God to open our hearts and our spiritual eyes to what his Spirit is and is doing. And so today I'm going to start in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. You guys all probably know this passage. It's the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I know it's probably a strange passage to use as I'm introducing the Holy Spirit. This is really kind of Holy Spirit 101 introduction, which cannot be done in like 40, 45 minutes. Okay, so I had to kind of pick and choose. What do I feel like is most important? And I felt like this is a good foundation right here, is just recognizing that Jesus himself, he spoke of the Holy Spirit in the same authority, in the same place, of the same importance that he spoke of the Father and that he spoke of the Son. Right? He puts them all right there together. And he's like, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, just as the Father is God, just as the Son is God. Okay, so if we can accept that the Father is God, if we can accept that Jesus is God, we've got to be able to accept that the Holy Spirit is God. They're all on the same playing field, the same level. This is really even a collective reference to the Trinity that we are singing about. Three persons, three in one. And so this is just kind of a, maybe a duh to some of you, but do you know that the Holy Spirit is just as important to your Christian walk as the Father is and as the Son is? I mean, it doesn't get taught that way a lot of times. We think that there's some kind of pecking order, and especially, right, we see how everything is turned in the New Testament to glorifying the name of Jesus, and so we kind of get this idea that Jesus is more important. They're equally important, just as they're equally God, and they're equally omniscient, all-powerful, and all-knowing, and everything. So they're equal, and so it's important that we leave room for the Holy Spirit, not that we push him out. And so many believers today want to embrace Jesus. They want to embrace even the Father, and for some reason have a really hard time embracing the Holy Spirit. But Jesus teaches the Spirit is important. He teaches us to make disciples, and he says that when you make disciples, teach them to do what? Observe all the things that I've commanded you. All the things. Everything I've taught you, I want you to teach the disciples to observe, to hold to all of those things. Well, Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit was important. He taught the Holy Spirit was critical. He taught you've got to have the Spirit to be born again. And so if Jesus taught those things, don't ignore the Spirit. Don't avoid the Spirit. Don't leave the Spirit out. If Jesus taught those things, if we're discipling people, we have to be teaching that the Holy Spirit is vital to the Christian walk. He's important. You can't avoid him. You can't leave him out. You can't ignore him. If you didn't catch on, I said him. Yes, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's one of those things. There's so many things in Christianity where we're like, it just doesn't make sense in my mind that he could be a person. Then you say he's a spirit. How is he a person? But he's a person baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. He's not a force. I mean, he is a force. He's a force to be reckoned with, if you want to look at it that way. But he's not just a force. I mean, I'm a force, right? If I'm fighting like a three-year-old, I'm a force because I'm a lot bigger and stronger. But he's a force, but he's a person, okay? That's the thing. We got to get back to the point where we recognize that the Holy Spirit's not an impersonal force. He's not an impersonal force that's untied from emotions and untied from the things, the characteristics that we see in a person. We think sometimes the Holy Spirit is this strange thing that does strange stuff. We think sometimes that it's kind of like he is a thing, but he isn't a thing. We think that it's like he's this thing, this mystical thing that's like floating around, and maybe you can see him if the light is right, and sometimes you can't. No, he's a person, okay? He's a person. And again, it's hard to wrap your mind around, but I want to show you how the Word teaches us this. Even though you can't physically see him, look at some of these things. I'm going to show you that he thinks. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. He thinks. He has a mind. He knows the spirit of God. You can't know if you don't have a mind that can think. He also has feelings. Ephesians 4:30. You've heard this before. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We'll get into that later in the series. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. If you can grieve him, if you can make him sad or upset, then obviously he has some kind of feelings. Some impersonal force does not have feelings. A person has feelings. We see that he has desires and that he can decide things. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. He makes the choice who to distribute the gifts to. It's at his choice, his discretion. He makes decisions. We're told that he can be lied to. Acts chapter 5 verse 3. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? If he can be lied to, then he's got to be able to be a person, right? You can't lie to a thing. I mean, I don't think I can lie to that plant right there. It doesn't know the truth. It can't discern whether I'm telling the truth or speaking a lie. These things show us that the Spirit is not an impersonal force. He's personal. We see other scriptures talk about how he creates. He was there at creation. Right? You go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis 1:2 says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was there at creation. He was a part of creation. We see that he guides, he comforts, he empowers, he convicts, he restrains sin, he gives commands. What I'm trying to do here with all these things is kind of change that perspective that we have on the Holy Spirit as this like weird mystical thing. Stop thinking of him as an it. Stop thinking of him as simply a force that's going to do something for me. Start thinking of him as a person. More importantly, start thinking of him equally as God. It's so important that we get that. That the Holy Spirit is not just the power of God that does what we ask him to do. The Holy Spirit is himself God. I've heard it said before that the Holy Spirit is the most ignored person in the church. You've probably heard that before too. And I was thinking about, why is that? Why is the Holy Spirit the most ignored person in the church? And maybe you say, well, not in our church. I think that maybe he still is. I think that he still is, and I think that the reason he is because the church doesn't talk enough about him. Sure, we sometimes talk about what he does, right? But I mean, talking about what he does and talking about him are two different things. Most churches just skate on by the topic of the Holy Spirit. We see in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, says, "And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, people of God, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" These are believers, and they say, "We've not heard of such a thing. What are you talking about, Paul? What is this Holy Spirit that you are speaking of?" Listen, I believe this is still somewhat true in the church today, that people are like, "Well, I don't really know what you're talking about. Have you received the Holy Spirit?" "Well, I don't really know exactly what you're talking about, except that he's part of the Trinity. I don't really know exactly what you're talking about, except that I think that he does some pretty cool things for some people." This is kind of the mindset that people have. People hear about Jesus, and they hear about Jesus for a really good reason, because there is no other name by which you can be saved. Now, so hear me out. I am not saying at all that we elevate the Holy Spirit above Jesus. I'm not at all saying about we shove Jesus and the Father in the back closet and start preaching only Holy Spirit, because tell you what, when you get there, you get away from truth, right? When we talk about preaching in spirit and in truth and worshiping in spirit and in truth, it means that there has to be a balance, but there has to be a balance. It means that we talk about Jesus, we talk about the Father, we have to talk about the Holy Spirit, or we're going to end up with a church of people and a city of people that say, "Holy Spirit, Mark, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never really been told what exactly that is. And so, no, I don't think that I have." Now, for us, most people, if they have heard about the Holy Spirit, everything they've heard is negative. Everything they've heard is negative. "Well, the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Spirit that. Well, my God wouldn't do that, and that doesn't make sense, and that sounds like the devil." And people have all these things that they've heard about the Holy Spirit. And so then you're like, "Do you want to receive the Holy Spirit?" And they're like, "No, time out. I don't want anything to do with that." We've got to talk about the Holy Spirit and his goodness. And listen, he's holy. I mean, of all things, he's holy. He is good. Do you know that? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is good and only good? Right? We say that about Jesus. We say that about the Father. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is good and only good? He only does good. He only is good. That is his name. Holy Spirit. He's an uncommon spirit. He's a spirit that's set apart, that is greater than, that is mightier than any other spirit or spiritual thing that we know of or ever will know of on this earth or in heaven. Do you know that today? He's unlike any other. He is God. He is good. Now, in the Holy Spirit, in the New Testament, when we see these references, this Greek word here is pneuma. Pneuma is the word for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And this is what it means in the Greek: a movement of air, wind, or breath. Now, I know I just told you that he's a person, and you're like, "Now it seems like you're making full circle." I am, all right? I'm making full circle here. The Holy Spirit, the word there, is movement of air, wind, or breath. It's a movement of air, it's a wind, or a breath that is unlike any other. It is a movement of air, it's a wind, it's a breath that is set apart, that is a cut above, that is greater, more powerful than any other movement of air or wind or breath that you ever will know of. Acts 2:2, we see it right here in action. He says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." He's described as a rushing mighty wind. That means like. He's like a rushing mighty wind. And as I read this, I always, listen, I'm a power guy. I like preachers that yell, which is, I don't know, but I don't really yell that much. Maybe I am a little bit today, but I like preachers that yell. I like music loud, right? I like things exciting. I like things powerful. And so when I read this verse, when I meditate on this verse, my mind is always, almost 100% of the time, I'm drawn to the rushing and the mighty, right? I'm like, man, that sounds incredible. Holy Spirit, come, like rushing, mighty, come in here and just tear this place up. That's what I'm drawn to. It's what excites me. I think about the way that he came in power, even here in this upper room, and we're told that he came in a way that basically wrecked these people, right? He came in a way that turned their lives upside down. He turned this community upside down. He did crazy, amazing things in these people's lives. But I'm going to tell you, kind of going to how I opened earlier, was that our focus really should not be on the rushing and on the mighty part. Our focus should be on the wind. See, our focus needs to be on the wind, on the Holy Spirit. This right here is where we, and myself I'm guilty of, we put the Holy Spirit in this box. That if he doesn't come in power, if people aren't weeping at the altar, if people aren't laying on their backs or convulsing or speaking in tongues and doing all these different things, we're not seeing legs grow back, we're not seeing miracles and signs and wonder, then it obviously wasn't the Holy Spirit, because that's how he moves, like a rushing mighty wind. You know what? We are putting the Holy Spirit in a box whenever we think like that about church and about how he works, good or bad. Do you know that he is much, much more than speaking in tongues? Okay, number one negative thing about the Holy Spirit outside of the Pentecostal church is speaks in tongues that can't be of God, that doesn't make sense, right? That's the number one negative thing that is taught. Do you know that he is so much more than speaking in tongues? Do you know that that's just a little tiny, tiny sliver of a piece of what the Holy Spirit does? I hope that you do. Do you know that he's more than just a good influence? I mean, he's so much more than just a good influence. Like, well, you know what, TJ, I know that you want to sin, but let me put my arm around you and come on, let's go over here instead. Do you know that he's so much more than that? I mean, I think that's where a lot of the American church is kind of limiting the Holy Spirit to, is like, well, he's just your buddy that'll put his arm around you and tell you it's okay, you'll do better next time. No, he's more than that. He's so much more. The Holy Spirit is God. And I want to tell you that my God is unpredictable. My God will do some things that are straight up crazy that doesn't make sense to man. You know, he just does. And I love it. I mean, we should want him to do that. Because I'll tell you what, there's one that's very predictable. And do you know who that is? Satan. Satan is extremely predictable. If he's come at you once, you know what he's doing again. Satan is like, if Satan's running a football team, I want to be the defensive coordinator for the other team. Because I know what play he's running. Dude, you're running H-back up the middle. That's what you ran last time. And it worked last time, and you're going to do it again because you think it's going to work every single time. Satan is predictable. He does the same old junk over and over and over. If he's attacked you once or twice, you kind of know what he's bringing. But don't you know that the Holy Spirit moves in ways not only that you couldn't predict, but that you couldn't even imagine? Do you know that he moves in ways? He draws up those plays. I don't know about you guys, how many of you watched the Super Bowl, but each team did kind of a play where they pitched it back to a receiver and then threw it to the quarterback. One worked out, one didn't. But both of them, even though I just saw it on the other side of the ball, it shocked me so much where I was like, never saw that coming. I wouldn't even thought that that was possibly in the playbook, yet they just did it, right? And the Holy Spirit's kind of like that, where it's like, he's going to come in ways that you couldn't even create in your mind, and think that he could possibly move like that. The word tells us that he's like a wind. And yes, I intentionally left out the rushing and the mighty. The Holy Spirit is like a wind. John 3:8 tells us, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Listen, today, I hope that we leave here kind of letting go of all the things that we think we know and we have rock solid about the Spirit. I'm not saying leave here and like you have no idea about the Holy Spirit, because that's what we're trying to accomplish. But I'm saying all the preconceived things, the things that I think the Spirit does this like this, and I think he does this like that, and I think he does this like that, and if I do this, he'll do that, all that stuff, man, get rid of it. He's unpredictable. You can't guess the play that he's getting ready to call on the other side. I'm positive of it. And the things that we know, they might be true, but I'm going to tell you that they're not the only ways, and we've got to start expecting the unexpected. Not trying to guess what it is, just expect, you know what? God's going to blow my socks off today. He's going to do something that I could not have even thought up in my mind if I tried. Because that's likely where we're to find him. That's likely where we're to find him in our day, is in that place where we would have never even looked. And like, well, how about that? God was there of all places, right? How many of you have done that? You found yourself in some place talking to some person throughout your day, and you're like, of all places, God was there? Like, I didn't even want to go there. I mean, I put up a fight and said, Lord, I'm not going there. I'm not doing it. And somehow I ended up here, and God was here all along. He'll be where we least expect him. John Eldridge has this quote. He said that the early Celtic Christians called the Holy Spirit the wild goose. And the reason is because they knew that you cannot tame him. They're like, he's like the wild goose. You can't tame him. You have no idea where he's going, what he's doing, when he's doing it. The wild goose. And I'm not proposing that we start calling the Holy Spirit the wild goose. Okay? Not proposing that at all. It's probably the last time. Maybe I'll say it again today. But after today, I'm going to try my best to never say the wild goose again. But I think we've got to have a little bit of that kind of expectation for him, right? That when he shows up, we have no idea what he's going to do. You know what? And I'm going to be chasing him around this room trying to catch him, right? Because I want whatever it is that he's doing. It's not always going to be in the form of that rushing mighty wind. But you know what? It's not always going to be in the form of that gentle dove that we always see the picture of. It's not always going to be the little flickering flame like on a candle, right? He's unpredictable. We have no idea what he's going to do. And I've got three ways I want to look at how the Holy Spirit is like the wind. The first one is in force. Force. He's not a force, but in the way that he's like the wind, he's like a force. As in, there's days where you can see the wind, and it's like the wind is so tremendous. It's blowing so hard that sometimes you do see trees uprooted. You ever see that? Where like a big tree is like the roots are sticking up out of the ground, and it got uprooted, and you're like, wow, right? You think it's going to flip over cars. You think it's going to rip the top off of your house. You think it's going to be something like a tornado. You know, there's days where you wonder and you see the wind blowing so hard, so dominantly, so forcefully that you're like, what are going to be the effects of this? You ever thought about the fact that you don't see the wind? You see the effects of the wind. You see what it's done. You see what it's caused. You see what it's doing, but you don't actually see the wind. Just the same as the sound. You're not hearing the wind. You're hearing the noise that the wind is creating by what it's doing. And sometimes it's powerful. Sometimes it's mighty. But do you know there's other times where the wind is blowing, and it's blowing so slightly so gently that you almost can't even detect it. You ever been driving down the interstate even and you're like I've been doing this where I'm like kind of doing this and I'm like looking at the trees and I'm like, how come the trees aren't moving? It's like, I don't even get what's going on here. It's like there's wind, but there's not wind. Sometimes you go to the park and you're like, man, it looks really nice out today. And you go there and you sit there and all of a sudden you feel this gentle breeze coming through and you're like, huh, I didn't notice that until I came and I sat down. Once I got still, once I focused and I'm like, you know what? There is a little bit of a wind, but you had to stop. You had to get quiet. You had to observe and you can see maybe a couple leaves just barely moving. And if you don't focus, you'll miss it and you won't even recognize that the wind is present. You know, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. There's times where he moves so powerfully, so mightily, so strong in our lives that we see things moving and shaking. We see that our lives are just being flipped upside down and things are just radically changing so fast, so rapidly, that it feels like we're kind of going through a tornado. It kind of even scares us a little because of the force of the Spirit in our lives. Listen, some people, maybe we're even saved in this manner by some evangelist showing up and screaming and pointing and telling you you're going to go to hell if you don't repent today, right? Maybe you came to the altar and you had God just kind of like slap you. Anybody ever had one of those where it's like God just slaps you at the altar and you just feel like, man, something powerful just happened in my life. Something that was unlike anything I've ever experienced. This great force has entered into my life. Sometimes it seems like God has spun you around, picked you up, like you're in the middle of a tornado. I've been through some of that in my life. And the wind of the Spirit comes tearing through our soul and seemingly destroys all the stuff that's been built in our lives so that he can start fresh with us. Others, maybe you haven't had that kind of experience. Maybe the Spirit has moved in your life more like a breeze, just slow, steady, constant. And you just feel it, and it's so gentle that there's probably times where you don't even recognize it, and you're thinking, is God even here? Right? Is the Spirit even working in my life? Is he doing anything? I'm going to tell you, that's how the Spirit of God is working in most people's lives most of the time. It's the way that we don't expect, right? Because every person out here, the Spirit of God is working on their lives. Do you know that? He's working on the heart of every man, woman, and child. He's trying to draw them to himself. He's trying to draw them to Jesus. And sometimes it's just that slight breeze that you can't recognize unless you could be still and calm and quiet and focus. And they're like, oh, he is at work here. I do recognize him at work. Many of you know this. You've been on the other end of it. Maybe it's a praying mother or father or friend. Maybe you're that praying mother or father or friend where you stay up and you're crying with tears in your eyes for someone's soul. That's the Spirit of God. Listen, working in that person's life. It's not about us. It's about them. He's moving in their life, even when he draws us to that place of prayer. Sometimes it's the Spirit's working in that gentle, slow breeze when we're reading the scriptures. And we're reading the scriptures, and as we're reading through them, we see that we have seeds of faith being planted in our heart that will one day spring to life. Listen, we can't just look for God to move in the ways that we expect. Our story is not someone else's. God may not do with you what he did with someone else. He may not do what he did with you the last time. He may not come with the same force, but what we've got to recognize is that he's always moving. He's always moving, and it can be from a powerful tornado to a gentle breeze and anywhere in between. The second way we see the Spirit is like a wind is in his direction. You know, the wind is always shifting. Even out here, the other day I was like, I thought our pool steps were gone because I didn't see them on the deck, but I had to like step out and look because the wind had been pushing them toward the pool and they were just staying right there and they were fine. And I thought about tying them off and then I was like, now they'll be fine. Well, then I couldn't see them anymore. And I was like, the wind's been blowing that way for days. Where are they at? And I got out a little bit closer and the wind blew them back. I know this because I asked everybody. I was like, did you move them? Did you move them? No, no. Nobody moved them. The wind shifted and blew back the other direction and it moved them back. I've never seen the wind blow that way out here. But you know what? Sometimes the wind just does what it wants. Sometimes the wind just shifts gears, starts blowing another way, a way that you don't expect. If probably nobody in here is as nerdy as me. Maybe you're not interested. But I looked up, and I almost had Stefan put it up, a chart on the wind from the last year. You can get this from like certain cities, big cities. And it's kind of like just shows a little chart of the wind blowing in all the different directions, how often, and it's like green, yellow, red, based on how many miles per hour. And this thing, there's wind all the way around the thing. And some of them are longer and stronger than others, and some are shorter, but it's like there's no dead spot in there. The wind blows every way at some point. You know, we're like, well, the wind always blows that way. Nope, it blows every way. I've heard it said before, I've heard this claim, that there were never two winds that blew in exactly the same direction. Never two winds that blew in exactly the same direction. There's always some deviation of the current of wind. Some measure of deviation. See, just when we think we've got it figured out, the wind can shift and just take off and go another direction. I've been driving down the interstate before, and it's like you get that about 45 degree angle. And you know, if you let go, you're going to die, right? Like, you can't let go or the car's just going to go off in the ditch. And then a semi has to come by. You're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Now I'm going to double die. I'm terrified, you know? But it's like sometimes you do that. And sometimes it's not even a semi. You're just driving and you got your 45 degree death grip, white knuckled on the steering wheel. And you're all tense. And all of a sudden your car goes. And you're like, oh boy. I'm terrified, like, what is going on? And it's just that brief moment where the wind is just like, you know what, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to start again. You know what, I'm going to blow the other way, now I'm going to blow back that way. It just does whatever in the world it wants. And the Holy Spirit is much like that. Just when we think we've got him figured out, he tends to blow this way. So I'm going to set up my resistance. You know, I got to get my 45 degree angle against the Holy Spirit so I can keep going the way that I want to go. My resistance against him so I can go down my path. And then bam, he's going to hit you from the other side. And you're like, why am I even fighting? Why am I even fighting? Why don't I just give up? He'll blow the other way and give you that little gust of wind to remind you that he's there. And as the Spirit changes direction in our lives. Listen, Spirit blows our way through all kinds of different means. Sometimes it blows your way through this pulpit, through this stage, and the words that are spoken, the prayers that are lifted up, the worship that is sang. Sometimes it's blowing your way through a Bible study that you're in. Sometimes it's just through a meeting with a friend. Sometimes it's just through coffee or over lunch. The Spirit is blowing your way. Sometimes it'll be from the testimony of his work in someone else. Sometimes it's through the scriptures. Again, one scripture may bring you to salvation, but another scripture comforts you in a time of sorrow, and yet another builds your faith in times of doubt. The Spirit blows the direction he chooses, and we can't look at the patterns and try to figure out what is next. He may have done X last time, but I think it's kind of like the claim that there was never two winds that blew in the same direction. You know, I think it may be similar, but yet different in some way. Let God move how he wants to move. Again, it all comes back to that. He can do anything. Let's expect the unexpected. Let's look for God to move and shake us and shape us in ways that we don't expect. We know one thing for sure about the direction that the wind blows, the direction that the Spirit blows. He may blow all different ways, It may come from one direction and go to another. It may whip around and do crazy things, but we know that it all leads back to one place, and that's Jesus. Listen, this is the most important thing that we've got to know about the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit only leads you to Jesus. Listen, I don't know where the wind starts, and I don't know where it goes. I don't know where the starting point and the stopping point is for anything that goes on with the wind. It's kind of crazy, but I know that with the Spirit of God, that the stopping point is always Jesus. 100% of the time, and if whatever that wind that's blowing your way isn't leading you to Jesus, then it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not. That's the easy way to tell. Is this God? Is it not? Is it bringing you closer to Jesus? Yes, it's God. If it's not, then no, it's not. We've got to know that. We've got to recognize that. And the third way that we see the Holy Spirit is like the wind is in its duration. Now, I don't mean duration as in he's only going to work in your life for a short time and then leave you. That's not what I mean by duration. John 14, 16 to 17 says, Jesus said, I'll pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit was not sent to be with us for a moment and abandon us. Jesus said that he will send him, that he will abide with you forever. Listen, we can rest assured that if the Holy Spirit is with us, that he's with us for good. He's not here for a temporary time. He's not going to leave you. But there can be a big difference in the duration to that force that he's working in your life. There can be a temporary amount of time, the duration to the direction that he's moving in your life. All these things can be temporary as far as their duration. When we think God's doing something that to us is good, sometimes we think it should continue forever. Anybody ever been there, done that? When the Spirit's moving in your life a certain way, you're like, I do not want this to end. Right? There's times where we're in worship where I'm like, no, I do not want them to stop. Right? Just keep playing until it's done. Like, I don't care how long it takes. I'm not playing the guitar. I'm not playing the piano. I don't care how long it takes. There's times where I'm like, I just don't want them to stop, because the way that the Spirit is blowing in my life right now, right here, as I stand here, I don't want it to end. Right? There's times where we're in that kind of season, and we've got to remember that the Spirit doesn't leave. Right? But the way that he's blowing, the way that he's moving right now in your life, that does have some kind of end before it changes and he moves that other direction. When we've been in those times, like in worship, where we've not wanted it to end, it has to end at some point, right? I mean, Jason, TJ, the ladies that are singing, can any of you just do it forever? I mean, indefinitely, you're going to be like, at some point, I've got to stop. I need a drink of water. My fingers hurt. Whatever it is, there's got to be an end. There's a duration to the things of the Spirit. They last for a while. But this is where it's exciting. When the things of the Spirit, when the way that he's moving in your life right here, right now, when you feel that kind of come to completion, and it's done and it's over, and you're missing it and you're longing for it, listen, let it be an encouragement that he's moved on, not from your life, but he's moved on in your life, that he's working in you in another way right now. And find out what that is. Like, you know what, God? Just because we quit singing and I sat down does not mean that you are done working in my life today. What are you doing now? Like, this should bring an excitement to us that it's like, man, I wonder what he's doing right now. I wonder what he's doing in my life right now as I'm sitting here writing out this check, right, during offering time. I wonder what he's doing right now in my life while I'm listening to this message. I wonder what he's doing in my life as I get home and I'm eating with my family. Listen, the Spirit of God is at work. Do we recognize that? That he's at work and it's exciting. It should be exciting. Thank you. Jan's excited, all right? The rest of you, I hope that you get there. Because it's God. God Almighty is working in our life, and we live from high to high, and we feel like when he's not doing something that we can feel, we feel like he's abandoned us. But when what he's really doing is he's just working in another way. And you know what? You're so busy looking at what he did, looking at the force that he used, or looking at the direction that he was going, that those things had some kind of duration that have come to completion, and he's working in another way, and you can't even see it. You know what? I've been there. I've been there and done that. And it's like, I wonder if God's kind of like, hello, I'm over here. I'm leading you to do this. I'm working in your life. You know what? There's times where I get angry, or I get upset, I get frustrated, and you know what? I want it to go away. Sometimes that's God working in my life. Sometimes it's him that brought that up. He's the one that led me to that place so that thing would be brought up. And that's God working in my life. But you know what? That's not exciting because it doesn't feel good. But you know what? It'll feel good if you recognize that it's God working and that he's doing something in you. And it's going to feel good when it's over. It's going to feel good when you get through it. God is at work. And so the Spirit will vary in force, in direction, in duration. What are we to do with this? Francis Chan said, when you read the New Testament, you see the Holy Spirit was supposed to change everything so that this gathering of people who calls themselves Christians had this supernatural element about them. The Holy Spirit is here to change everything. He's here to change it all. That's why we can't hold on to what we want and what we hope for and expect him to do what it is that we want, because he's here to change it all. He's here to change it all, and he's here to change it all so that we, the church, has a supernatural element about them. It goes back to the spiritual things. If the church isn't supernatural, the church is dead. If it's not supernatural, then it's natural. You know what natural does? Natural dies. Supernatural lives on, right? If the church isn't moving in power, then it will die. The Holy Spirit changes lives. In fact, you can't have life without him. You can't live without the Spirit. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. It's the Spirit who gives life. Listen, that life is because Jesus died on the cross and was raised to life by that same Spirit. This is where we're going next week. Resurrection Sunday is going to be about the resurrection power of the Spirit of God. Right? The Spirit gives life, and it began with Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. Jesus is Savior, but the Spirit gives life. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, listen, we don't have Jesus. That's true. If we don't have the Spirit, we don't have Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the pneuma, or in the Old Testament, the word's even cooler, the ruach. You got to spit a little bit when you say it, ruach. The ruach, they both mean the same thing, the wind or the breath. The very breath of God, the Spirit is the breath of God. The breath of God, this is why he gives life. He's the breath of God. We need the Spirit. Listen, you can't hear God's voice if it's not by his breath. Do you recognize that? You can't even hear the voice of God in your life if it's not by his breath. That's by the Holy Spirit. You try talking without breathing. Try talking without breath coming out of your mouth. If you want to hear the voice of God, it's only going to be by the power of his Spirit. It's by his breath. We can't live if we don't have breath. Do you realize that? You can't live without breath. The Spirit is weird. Listen, the Spirit is weird because the Spirit is supernatural. It's not natural. Listen, but if natural is what we're using as our baseline for what's normal, well, who in the world wants what's going to die to be the norm? Who wants death to be our baseline for what is good and acceptable in this world? But that's where society is at. We want what's normal. And what's normal is things that are not supernatural, things that are dead. No, we're alive because of Christ. It's by the breath of God that he says, you shall live forevermore. That's not natural. It's supernatural. It's weird. It's different. It's not the same. The Spirit of God is here to change people. He's here to change people. He's going to do it his way. He's going to use whatever force, whatever direction, and whatever duration that he chooses. It's whatever he deems necessary. But know that the result of that is life. The result of it is Jesus. Listen, this should excite us. The moving of the Spirit in our life, the reason that the Holy Spirit is here, is to lead us closer to Jesus, to conform us into the image of Jesus. This should be exciting. This should be stirring in our heart, even as we were singing earlier, that we look forward to that marriage day. We look forward to that wedding. Listen, the day where you're going to be one with Christ. Right? You're one with him spiritually now, but when you are the bride of Christ in heaven forevermore, since this church is what we're living for. I'm going to tell you, we're not living for a pot of gold here on earth. We're not living for a bigger truck. We're not living for a nicer house. We're not living for a greater career. We're not living for a sports team. We're not living for this church that we're in right now. We're living for eternity with Jesus forever. And it's only by the breath of God, by the Spirit of God. We've got to have a desire for something more. A desire for something different. Mark Batterson, my absolute favorite Christian author, he said, in my experience, if you take the Holy Spirit out of the equation of your life, it spells boring. Add it to the equation of your life, and you never know where you're going to go, what you're going to do, or who you are going to meet. Listen, today, if you want life to stay boring, then stay right where you're at. So maybe you're like, my life's not boring. Listen, I'm telling you, that life is boring when you compare it to life with the Holy Spirit. Life with the Spirit is unlike any other life. And so today, if you want life to be boring, you can stay seated where you're at. But listen, if you want life to be different, I want you to stand to your feet. And we're going to go back into worship here in just a moment. But stand to your feet. And I want you to just think about a couple of things here. You can close your eyes with me in this place. If you want your life to be different, listen, and maybe your life is good and maybe you have the Holy Spirit, but you know what? I'm believing for a greater measure. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit, the level of the anointing, the level of the influence that we have in our lives right now is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, he's got so much more for you today. And so if you want your life to be different, if you want the Spirit of the living God to breathe on you today, just like we've been praying, as we've been talking about, I want you to begin to come to the altar. Just come stand down here. If you today need to be born again, you need to be made new, you need to know Jesus in a way that you maybe don't know him right now, I want you to come. Come to the front. Listen, I believe in coming forward, and it's not, we don't keep track, it's not for our numbers or any of these other things, it's because sometimes we got to take a step out and we got to show God that we're serious. Sometimes it's that we have to take the step because he's already serious. He's already moving. He's already working. And sometimes it takes us saying, yes, God, I need more. And I'm stepping out of my comfort zone to pursue that. So if you want a fresh touch from God, come. If you need, maybe you need the Spirit of God to move through your life like a tornado and just wreck everything that's in it so you can start from scratch by his power, by his might, then come. Maybe you need to hear his voice kind of like that gentle breeze. And you're like, I just need God to speak to me today, and I don't even know what it is that I need. I want you to come. Because I can assure you today that he's able. I can assure you today that it's not going to be by my might or my power or anything that I can say, but I'm going to tell you that by God's Spirit, he makes all things new. By God's Spirit, he can resurrect the dead. That by God's Spirit, he can overcome any obstacle that's in this world that's known to man, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional. That by God's Spirit, I'm going to tell you, he can take you and turn you around to a different direction, somewhere that you've not even planned, somewhere that you've not even been able to see on the map, because he's God. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is here today. And he's here to guide you to all truth. He's here to guide you and lead you to Jesus Christ. And so today, if you would just lift your hands with me, if you're down here at the altar. And Lord, I just ask that you would move. God, not how we expect you to. Lord, I almost asked you to move in a certain way, but I don't want that. I want you to move the way that you see fit. Lord, we know that you can move in a mighty, powerful way. We know you can move like that rushing, mighty wind. But Lord, we know that you too can move gently and softly, like that of a dove or that candle flame that flickers in the wind. That you are a God that is more than enough. You're a God that is the beginning from the end. You are a God that is greater than all things. And God, you are a God who does the impossible. You're a God who's unpredictable. And so, Lord, we ask right now for a touch from you. Lord, that those at this altar right now, Lord, that they would experience you in a way, God, that we can't even come up with in our own words. Lord, in a way that changes our hearts, in a way that molds us and shapes us and conforms us to the image of Christ in a new way, in a new fashion, in a new part of our lives that maybe we didn't even recognize needed molded or shaped. Lord, we trust you right now and ask you to move because, Lord, you are willing and you are able. And Lord, as people have come down here today, Lord, as they take that step of faith, Lord, I'm asking that they don't leave this altar without an encounter from the living God. Lord, because the Spirit is the breath of God. The Spirit is the very breath of God. The Spirit is life. And life is in the supernatural. So we ask for that right now. Lord, I ask for healings in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for physical healing right now from back pain and from headaches and maybe chronic illnesses that have been being suffered from their whole lives. And God, that all these things, God, they're things that you have the authority over. And by the power of your Spirit, we ask you to move. God, we ask for healing from mental distress and mental illness and depression and anxiety and all these things right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would come, and if it needs to be a violent shaking, then shake violently, Lord. But if it needs to be that gentle breeze that where you just whisper the truths of your word to dispel the lies of the enemy, that you would do that right now, God. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just fill people afresh with a passion, with a zeal for who you are, for your word, and for the lost. God, that as we leave this place today, that we would be set ablaze on fire with hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, but our hope is confirmed by your presence in this place. And so we ask that that be recognized and be identifiable to to each and every person that's down here today. And Lord, we give this all to you. Ask you to have your way with us as we worship you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Feel free.